We both took our showers with no shower curtain and the water spayed everywhere. Sorry.
Hey, good
to
news.
The lovely.
Good news. Good news. You can do two showers at once because one person just stands outside and gets splashed with it. So it works out quite
life
well.
Life hack again. Brilliant.
This podcast contains the arguably witty banter of two friends, Skippy and Doodles, that like to debate about investing. The content is intended to be entertaining and for informational purposes only, not investment advice. You should do your own research and consult a financial professional before using any of the information in this podcast, and especially before investing.
According to my son, we were in New Mexico in the last couple days.
Basically, just for the record, I want the record to show that I did not stay in Nebraska. Okay?
That is true. That is true. Do you know where else you didn't stay?
New Mexico. For those who don't know, we are just back from the Berkshire Annual Meeting in Omaha, Nebraska. It was quite an experience, Doogles. I mean, I thought I knew what I was getting myself into, but wow.
What most surprised me is how sprightly Warren Buffett is. Can
really?
You think of any other word besides sprightly?
Yeah, like that. The only word I would not use to describe him is sprightly.
Truth be told. It was a good time.
It was a good time. So here's how it works today, guys. We're going to bring you behind the scenes, and you'll get the usual banner. So don't switch to a different podcast just yet. We're going to talk generally about the experience, some of the celebrity sightings, Doogles, celebrities everywhere, some of the protests, which I was not expecting, our experience in and outside of the town, recap a few questions for the QA session, I think, and then talk about the shopping. I mean, for a value investing event, I had no idea there'd be this much shopping.
So much shopping. Louis Vuitton. I'm talking about some Hermes.
How do you pronounce these things?
No. Oh, okay. I was on Rodeo up in here. Where do we start? Where do we start during the trip? I mean,
the first and most important thing is a value investor, me, was traveling with a non-value investor. And what happened because of that is we ended up in first class on the flight over.
I said, please don't do this to us. You know, can you find a seat in steerage is what I asked them.
Just to my fellow value investors out there, first class is pretty nice. It's going to be tough for me to turn this down going forward. And it was cheap. This is amazing.
It was cheap. They said, wait, over the loudspeaker, are Skippy and Doogles on this here airplane?
Yeah.
Let's move them up to the front.
And it happened all weekend, really.
Happened all weekend. It was nice. You got to get used to these kind of things. Because the life up here in long-term momentum and growth is like a life worth living.
I think you might have me switching. Switching teams over here. Okay, so we fly in. And for those who don't know, the Omaha airport is actually in Iowa, which is kind of hilarious. And we land at what I describe as the worst hotel I've stayed at in 25 years. Is that fair?
No, it's quality. It's actually not. Do you know why? Because you go from the hotel to the motel. So it might be the best motel you've stayed at. It does not fit into the hotel category.
So the way my wife describes the hotel motel breakdown, but I'd love for the listeners to weigh in on this actually, is motels have doors on the outside. And we had a internal hallway with the door. So I think we live in prime time here.
There you go. But what she didn't bring up was hotels have curtains on the showers. You might have a door on the inside, but no door on the shower. And it's got to be one of the two. One of the two.
Yeah, I debated this, but we just got to take it behind the scenes. So I'm going to name names. We were
Please
at the
do.
Quality Inns and Suites in Council Bluffs, Iowa.
And we were in
Council
the suites.
Bluffs.
The Quality Suites is what we were in.
We had a suite, no doubt about it. It had a luxurious leather couch, some wood flooring that didn't really fit together that was actually plastic. As Doogles mentioned, no shower curtains allowed. Mm-mm. The phone would not allow you to call the front desk, if the front desk even existed. I'm not sure that it did. And it was so clean and so luxurious that Doogles slept in his clothes on top of the sheets.
It was fantastic. First class. This hotel motel, not Holiday Inn, it made me feel like I was missing home. You ever go to one of those places and you go like, I can't wait to go back home? That's not the way typically when you go to a hotel you want to feel. You want to feel like, I could stay here forever. Like one more day, please, one more day. And this was, when we left, we got in our Uber to leave the establishment. And there were cheers, not just from us. It was like, there were people lined up outside the spot, outside the Wendy's from across the street, outside the laundromat from across the street, saying, thank you, Jesus. You were leaving this establishment.
Now, again, to try and give the listeners a behind the scenes, the why we stayed at the Quality Inns in Council Bluffs, Nebraska, I'm not really sure, but some of it had to do with the fact that hotels can get very expensive for this event, right? This is the biggest event that Omaha hosts all year. Happens to coincide with college graduation for Creighton University in Omaha as well. So, like, the premium for hotels is about as high as it gets.
Exactly.
That being said, if we're going to drop a few tidbits for your next Berkshire attendance event, you probably don't stay at the Quality Inns and Suites. I would pay up for a little more quality here.
You know when you find a life hack that you have to share? Yep. What I thought, I thought it was a don't stay in Nebraska. Life hack, stay in Council Bluffs at the Quality Inn. Untrue. Fully untrue.
It really seemed like we were, super smart. We paid, I don't know, $250 a night or something. Felt like
it was not
that
much. It was not that much. Okay.
So what we did is we lived the long-term momentum life on the flight, first class. Then we lived the value investor, deep value for the hotel, and decided that deep value didn't work out so well. That's the first learning. We could think of the town generally. I was shocked that leading up to the event, like the night before the event, the town is not really overrun with value investors.
Or humans.
Or humans of any kind. Yeah.
I thought it was going to be like Vegas. I thought it was going to be, you show up and there are people everywhere and we can't find a spot to eat. We can't find a spot to sit. Can't find anything of this nature. I thought it was going to be like that. And it was, you can only find a spot to eat. You know, you can only find a spot to sit. I was very surprised at the fact that, and this, I don't know, but this was surprising to me. And it made me think a lot about what the state of the economy right now is for Omaha. And I don't know. It might be like bustling all the time. I have no idea. But it didn't seem like it. If this is the busiest Friday of the year, given the two things you mentioned before, you got the Creighton. How do you pronounce that? That's cool.
Creighton.
You got the Creighton graduation and Warren Buffett's like annual soliloquy. And I can sit down. You know, I mean, I want to be cankles to cankles with somebody, is what I thought it was going to be.
So we did find a quality dinner spot and we're able to get together with some listeners. Tons of fun. We loved all the meet and greets that we had. And so shout out for those events. Like that was, I'd say my highlight, Dougals, was just we met some really cool folks and ran into some listeners. Like great times, right?
Oh, I loved that. Yeah. And that was phenomenal. Talking stock picks.
Yeah, people are pitching stocks all over the place. I couldn't find anyone else that supported Hawaiian Electric, but
zero people.
One day, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Greg Abel, the next CEO of Berkshire Hathaway, did say utility.
A lot.
Yeah, he didn't say this specific utility, but he did say utility.
Actually, on the utilities front, before we talk the celebrity sightings, let's walk through what the next morning looks like. So we got some intel about the annual event. The annual event, Dougals likes to call it show up, wait, sit, wait some more. Did I get that right?
And then wait again.
Okay. The annual event is at the Creighton Basketball Arena. It seats about 20,000 people. Yeah. Pretty nice stadium. Little
CHI, dated. CHI Health Center. Let's call a spade.
CHI Health Center. CHI Health Center connects to a convention center, a decent sized convention center as well. Like, I don't know my square footage here, but a room for another 20,000 people in the convention center, it seems.
Yep.
Fully connected, nice facility. So the way the actual event happens is rumor has it, people start to get in line as early as 3 a.m. Now, when we're talking life hacks, Dougals, the thing we floated that I don't know, but better than staying in Council Bluffs, Nebraska, might be trying to set up a tent and camping right in front of the thing. Rather than paying for a hotel, leaving that hotel at 3 a.m., that seems a little crazy to me.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I'm asleep inside the CHI Center next year. Inside.
You just got to go in the day before and find a spot?
I mean, they have all those little squishy marshmallows, guys. That's a pillow for me. I'm going to lay up a bunch of those Munger, like, squishmallows and just lay on those in a corner, right? Put a couple garbage cans up so people can't see me. And I'm going to be tented up because I'm not getting up at 3.
All right. Remind me to come back to the shopping because we haven't really covered that. But so
that's true.
The day of, apparently lines start at 3 a.m., we decided that our hotel was so luxurious that we could sleep till 5:30. We both took our showers with no shower curtain and the water spayed everywhere. Sorry.
Good news. You can do two showers at once because one person just stands outside and gets splashed with it. So it works out quite well.
Life hack again. Brilliant. And so we show up right around 6 a.m. on the south entrance and got, what do you think we're, 300 folks back?
Probably something like that. Yeah. Something like that.
Then let me break it to you. You stand in line for an hour.
Yeah. Doors open at 7. Does not mean anyone goes in at 7, apparently.
We had we were there at 6. Yeah. We stood in line for an hour and a half. We weren't in the building till maybe 7:45.
That's right. That's truth be told.
We had a light drizzle, some rain. And listen, there's got to be a 12-year-old kid out there. Fly to Omaha, make some coffee, charge people $7 a coffee cup. You could walk up and down these lines. There are lines everywhere at every entrance with no amenities. I was shocked at the lack of capitalism happening at this event.
This is the whole thing. Going back to what you talked about the flight, we had growth. I'm talking Broadcom level flight status flying out there. And then we landed in all deep value kit territory. Let me cover the two things we talked about so far. We talked about the quality inn and suites. We talked about standing outside in the drizzle with no amenities. Once you land in this place, there's no more Broadcom, no more Dexcom, no more, I'm talking high growth, high dividend. No more of that. Mm-mm. Once you land there, no amenities. So as you mentioned, I do think, and mini muffins, if you really want to make money, you can do mini muffins. You know those bags of mini muffins you can open up?
Yep.
I'm talking bring some of that that like nasty creamer, don't matter, from Safeway, BOGO from Safeway. I'm talking about some of the coffee in a box and mini muffins. And you would buku wuku, like straight up.
I don't know how many thousands of dollars you can make, but a ton. Like literally a ton. And my take here is that Buffett and Berkshire can't tell you not to do it because he's famous for like selling packs of gum as a 11-year-old kid in school. You know, so it's just a capitalist taking advantage of people that are all like, I mean, so I would estimate that the typical attendee spent $500 or more on their hotel because they're smarter than us, right? Mm-hmm. The hotel directly adjacent to the convention center, at least $700 a night. We looked the night before. There's some crazy outfit trying to charge $7,000 a night. Now, I'm not sure what the volume looked like on that. But
you know what they had, though? Shower curtains.
Yeah, it's true. Shower curtains. All right, so we get into the venue. After a really aggressive security guard goes through my underwear publicly, which was tons of fun.
But why'd she sniff them, though? That was where it got confusing.
I mean, I told you that this happened at the airport, too. I got selected for the random security check, and they said that guy's too handsome to go to the back room. So, I mean, it just happens to me. What can I say?
That's true. That's true.
We got some seats. We got some seats. Lower level, section 109. Pretty quality seats, I thought.
Pretty good. They were pretty good. You could see the buffet. The warm buffet. Sorry, no, there was no buffet for lunch.
I mean,
you could see the warm buffet. You could also see, I think the view of the entire arena was pretty cool. Like from that spot, you could see that you were part of something bigger than yourself.
Yeah, I actually think that was lovely because we were kind of diagonal facing the stage, but you really had a view of the 20,000 folks that were all there for. I mean, I'm not sure that you and I fall into this camp, but everyone else seemed like they were there for a religious experience.
This was a spiritual event for a lot of people. Like they needed a cleansing.
Right behind us, we had probably 20 folks, all young, all dressed up, with one older guy. It was a class. It was an investing class that came on over. Like that was cool. And yep. They were all had the biggest smile on their face. And they all took pictures one by one with their professor with the stage in the background. I can't call this. I guess I could. The event was diverse in
no
unusual ways.
Ways.
Well, unusual
no, zero, in zero ways.
There were a lot of countries represented. Like okay. There were people that flew in from other countries. It was not super diverse. Most of these, I would assume, are like older white men. Like, obviously.
Wait, why are you assuming?
Well,
they just were.
Okay, they were. There was more women than I expected. That was a positive. But there was a lot of people that flew in. And the Q&A session was, there was people that flew in from here, there, and everywhere, it seemed. Now, everyone that asked a question about, I'm from so-and-so country, when will you invest in so-and-so country, got the exact same answer. So much that I was like chuckling about this. Buffett would say, I like America and I'm going to invest in America. That was basically his answer to every question. But
the one, yes, you're right.
Yeah,
I did appreciate that he also said, I'm not good at understanding different cultures. I thought that was an important point. Not to like dig on himself at all, but just from the idea that we talk about around having an edge, he's just like, I don't know Indians. Like, I don't know the people. I don't know the country. I don't know the regulations. I don't understand like what makes folks tick. And so, no, like I am not going to invest in India.
The Q&A session had a lot of interesting points. We'll get to it in a second. But he also mentioned his age, maybe had a slip up or two. And said, like, I'm not investing in India at 93. It was kind of what he's like, maybe if I was 75 or maybe if I was 55, I'd hop on a plane and we'd go crush over there. But it's not happening. Before we get to Q&A, can we talk celebrities?
Let's do it.
Now, this is just really for people on the pod to laugh up. These are the so-called celebrities. This is not J-Lo and Kanye. But there were some big names, one of which I felt more reverence to than anyone else, which was, I was surprised by this. So to my count, we had Tim Cook, Bill Gates.
Oh, yeah.
Bill Ackman.
Oh, yeah.
William Green, multiple times.
W. Green, Walgreens.
Monish Pabrai, Guy Spear, Christian Bloom Stratt. Who else am I missing?
There was Susan Buffett, Howard Buffett, Ken Chenault.
Ken Chenault. Is he a celebrity though?
He is in my neck of the woods. He is, because Ken Chenault was the third black CEO of a Fortune 500 company.
Yeah, all right. I mean, that's like, I like that. Yeah,
there you go. He's one of the people that inspired me to get into business.
Love it. Then he should go to the top of the list, man. Tim Cook, for some reason, and I don't even know why, was the only one that felt like a real celebrity.
Maybe Bill.
Yeah,
Tim Cook and Bill.
Both those two, but they like. We're on CNBC in the front. Like everyone else I mentioned, Tobias Carlyle was there. Like everyone else I mentioned was just in the cheap seats with us, effectively. Yep. Tim Cook was like up front on CNBC, waving hands, kissing babies.
It's because the first 15 minutes of the event was just a roast of Apple. I didn't know that was what was going to happen. But this poor dude, I'm using that not in the financial terms, but in the like, is this really the way you're going to treat this nice gentleman? Tim Cook was standing up and they came on CNBC and just talked about how Berkshire Hathaway sold Apple shares for like 15 minutes. And they had a split screen up. So on one side was Tim Cook. So the man couldn't even like react at all. One side was Tim Cook. The other side was CNBC being like, how sucky is Apple? Why does Apple suck so much that Berkshire Hathaway is selling their shares? It's like, this is like this poor guy.
That's exactly what happened. And it was in really poor taste, I thought. So the headline, you know, Berkshire releases their annual report at 7 a.m., right when doors open. Mm-hmm. And then the financial media, which the financial media is a little insane. They run around, trace their tails, and try and make stories out of nothing. So Berkshire had about $180 billion worth of Apple stock, and they trimmed it to something like $140 billion. Worth of Apple stock. Still their largest position by a significant amount. But yeah, they put Tim Cook on the screen and just say horrible things about his company and speculate that Buffett hates Apple now, even though it's still like 40% of his portfolio. It's really awkward.
But after this $110 billion buyback, it's only going to be $30 billion worth. Because my theory, which there's 0% chance my theory is right, my theory is the whole $110 billion going to Berkshire Hathaway.
Yeah, you think Tim Cook is illegally writing Buffett a check.
No. I didn't. Hold on. You're using words that I didn't use. Words like illegal.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-mm. Words like shell company. Words like fraud. I didn't use words like that.
Yeah. All right, we are going to talk a little more about the Q&A, but the other thing that surprised me is simply the protest. So, a tip to protesters. I know a lot of you are listening to the show. You might want to make your signs big enough that people know what you're upset about.
And your voice is loud.
Yeah. They had like this this relaxing drum. It was kind of soothing. They were across the street from the convention center. Very kind of them to not be in the way of anything else. The best I could gather here, some people are upset about the Berkshire Hathaway Energy Company's use of coal. Is that what we're...
I just heard them screaming coal, so I assume they wanted us to buy more. I couldn't quite figure out what was going on over there.
A hat tip to some of the worst protests I've seen. I have no clue what your issue is. I think they did, though. This was, you only get this type of coverage on the Skipping Diggle show. I think they snuck someone behind the scenes and got them to ask a question. And the question was relating to coal use in Nevada, structured as a shareholder being upset, but it was actually someone who could barely read the question. It was really poorly done. I'll give him that.
Well, first of all, in any other circumstance, if you argue against a topic and then you are a shareholder in the company that does the thing, that is a problem. So yes, if you're in this building, let's throw you in the camp of your shareholder.
You have so to thank be a you shareholder for your support. To get a ticket to get in
thank
the door.
Thank you for your support.
Yeah.
The question started off with, I'm fitting to compound for the next decade. However, in the meantime, why coal?
I love the wealth you've created for me and my family, but gonna attempt to throw some shade. And Buffett's not going to care because he's going to, with almost every question, I don't mean this in a bad way. I love the guy. I love the guy's financial intelligence and ability to educate so many people about the joys of compounding and the beauties of investing. Love the guy. But he doesn't really care what the question says. He's going to talk about how American Express is a wonderful company when he wants to. He's going to talk about how he likes his management team. He's going to talk about the wealth he's created for the people in that room and how he thinks of the people in that room as family. Like, he does not care. That's not the best way to get Berkshire Hathaway to change their approach, is with asking a question at the Angle shareholder meeting. It doesn't really matter. People are chuckling at you, I think.
No, the best way is to make it profitable for them to go a different direction. So if she starts a company, like, I mean, this is a long game. You're playing the long game here. If she starts a company that makes it such that you can shift faster from coal and natural gas into solar and wind, then Berkshire Hathaway will gladly come along.
Yeah. We've talked about the roller coaster ride that this was, pros and cons. I will say the highlight for me is all thanks Charlie Munger. And his absence was a huge hole. Like, you could just tell. The most heartwarming piece is on the second or third question. Buffett gives his answer and then looks to his left and says, Charlie, not realizing that Charlie wasn't there,
was
because
Greg.
He had done that for decades.
Yep.
And he wanted Charlie to weigh in. They had a tribute video to Charlie. I had no idea that Charlie Munger had made appearances on like Desperate Housewives and all these other, I mean, celebrity appearances like crazy. In the bookstore, they only sold the Charlie Munger Poor Charlie's Almanac.
Yep.
Which is great.
Yep.
You mentioned that one of the companies Buffett owns is Smushmallows, I believe that's how it's pronounced. And they had like custom Warren and Charlie stuffed animals almost that were pretty cool. I don't know how to describe it. To me, no offense to Greg Abel and Anit John, the vice chairman, who were also sharing the stage with Buffett, but their answers were as boring as any other Fortune 500 CEO types. Like the event without Buffett and without Munger, I'm sure 20,000 people will show up post that, but I have no interest in going. Like it's just the amount of corporate speak from the people that weren't named Buffett and the highlights of Munger was, I don't know, fairly lackluster, right?
Yep. Yes. And it's not to what you're saying. It's not meant to throw shade at the individuals because they're good at what they do. They's good at what they do. However, for this purpose, this is it's a show. It's a performance of its own kind. And that is not what they're built to do. Because you need historically you get Warren talks for like 5 minutes about some topic, whatever the question is. Mm-hmm. And then Charlie goes, yeah, and suck my butt. And like yeah, that makes,
or like,
that makes the
mix
whole
raisins
thing.
And turds, you still get turds, or throw some shade at politicians. It's incredibly unique. I'm sure everyone knows this, to have 40,000 people show up for a weekend for a Q&A session. And to me, granted, it was our first time, but I was like, one, there's a huge hole without Munger, like bringing some levity and some fun to this. There's also, you could tell Buffett's slipping a little bit. So there's less like, I don't know. I checked about this going in. He's not going to say anything that surprises you. And at this point, he's probably not going to say anything that like totally knocks your socks off either.
Yeah. Yeah.
So post Buffett moving on, which we hope is
never
a long
happens.
Time away. I just could not get, well, I could get excited about that event for one reason. And here's another tip I'd give for listeners. If you want to go, it's great to sit in a room with 20,000 people and see Buffett. Like, that's a reason to go. But the best reason to go is to line up 5 meetings with other investors that you really like and go socialize. And just call this, like, a good excuse to get together with smart people that you respect. That's the reason to go. A lot of folks, I mean, and I think a lot of the folks that have gone for years and years and years did not even wake up at 6 a.m. They laid back and hung out at the Hilton bar at 8 a.m. when the event actually starts and watched everything on CNBC because it's all right there.
I fully agree. If you're going to go, make sure to set up your events ahead of time, understand who's coming, hook up with those folks, like, right, have a good meal, have some drinks and some laughter. That's the point. It's a unique convergence of a group of people that care a lot and know a lot about investing and take advantage of that. The QA is not why you go. Mm. You go experience that once, you know, to see Warren in person, whatever it might be, but that's not what it's all about.
I actually saw some of the so-called celebrities. I mean, I saw crowds around those people. I think you could argue you might go to the Q&A to shake some hands with investors you really respect, but everything else is on CNBC. The shopping center at the convention hall was pretty much just as crowded as ever during the Q&A event with folks that wanted to go get some deals. Now, the problem with this, Dougals, and you know I have beef around this, is you bring a bunch of value investors and basically build out a mall in the convention center with Berkshire Hathaway owned companies, and there's no deals to be had. I mean, I didn't walk out of there with a single thing.
No, everything was like priced up.
And my line of, oh, actually, I'm an owner of this company, did not work. Like, no one was giving me free running shoes or free books. I'm shocked.
I'm an owner of this company. I own them shoes. Agreed.
I'm Buffett's right-hand man. So if you had to buy one thing from the convention center, I think I know the answer, but Tell the listeners, what would you buy?
One of the little Munger squishies.
This is the wrong answer. And I love the Munger squishies.
A BNSF train?
They sold out. No, I pick up a NetJet, baby. I now fly in first class everywhere. I know how it works.
The NetJet didn't have any wings. I'm trying to tell you that plane couldn't fly, bro.
The NetJet is a bus, which is kind of hilarious, right?
to go back to the line for a moment before we continue on. Yeah. I enjoyed, there was this family there. It was mom, dad, and 10-year-old son. And Skippy looks this child in his eye sockets and says, "Do you enjoy coming here?" And I was like, I'm really curious about this answer. The child's lips started to come apart and the mom jumps in and goes, "Oh, he loves it. He's been coming since he was a baby."
Hey,
which made me go, he hates this. Like, there's nothing he can't.
No. First of all, new listener, shout out to the 10-year-old. I don't know your name, but he got some stickers and he's loving the show. I'm sure you're here. So welcome. It's all good. We loved running into you. There was all sorts of that. That family was from Omaha. They come every year. They love the event. I mean, I think you could do that. If you, especially if you're a local and you kind of love the chaos of it all, it could be a really fun day on your calendar, right?
And you could reinforce. If you live there, it's great.
Yeah. Well, and there were a bunch of kids. And when I say a bunch, I mean, I bet I saw 20 plus, more than I expected. So, good event. Food in the arena was not great. Shout out to that. Only Coke products, which is also not great. So, Buffett, could you please buy a decent beverage that I could like anything?
You were looking for Red Bull.
I mean, Celsius, anything. Just like, I woke up at 4 in the morning after not sleeping and showering without a shower curtain. I could have used some caffeine. That's all I'm saying.
Life hack.
The actual QA session, there's one thing I want to say about that, Dougals. It was so funny to be there, to hear the tone of his responses, and then hear these aggregators and financial journalists write the quote have a completely different take on what he said, the manner in which he said it. And to me, that was... Gosh, it even felt different in person than it does on CNBC. I know we just said you could just watch CNBC, but the very first question is pretty much about why did you trim Apple?
Yep.
And I saw some financial aggregators break down his answer and imply that World War III is around the corner and imply all these things that I don't think he really said being in the room with him. And hearing the tone of his response. Basically, and I want your take on this too, but I took his responses. I'm going to say some words to avoid saying Apple's overvalued, because that doesn't do anyone any good. I have the CEO, 15 Fried, in front of me. It's still 40% of my portfolio. That doesn't do anything any good. So he said, I want a little more cash. I think tax rates might go up. Like all these things. And I saw 10 people say that means World War III is coming and Buffett's freaked out.
I'm not even sure he said the word Apple in his answer. He was like, oh, I'm so glad you asked this. Let me talk to you about Coca-Cola and tax rates.
Right?
Like the answer had nothing to do with Apple.
So I think he had one slip up where he answered a question twice. He's 93. I think that happens. But that was the main takeaway for me, is he just kind of was going to say whatever he wanted to say. And so I would really urge caution on Twitter or wherever when you see these yahoos sitting in their mom's basement watching CNBC making conclusions about what Buffett means. I don't think any of that happened. And I want to change your investing approach based on someone's recap of the Berkshire Hathaway meeting in any way, shape, or form.
What I think happens is there's such a halo around the event and around Warren Buffett that the conclusion is whatever he says is going to be great. And so then people write up the great thing, like no matter what it is. So to your full point, And there was nothing that he said that was new.
Not even close to new. Yeah.
Mm. It's kind of like watching LeBron James play basketball right now. I am so impressed that a 40-year-old man can do what he's doing out there on the court.
It's a great idea. We should get Buffett some of the human growth hormone that LeBron has been taking illegally. Oop, throw on shade. There you go.
You don't get those abs on your own. We forgot to mention Buffett showed up topless.
It's highlight. That was the highlight. That's what I was going to close with.
He did not.
All in all, it was... So the biggest aha moment for me was exactly that. We were sitting there in the room with the big event that everyone was watching on CNBC. And CNBC makes it seem more glamorous and almost like more... They rush to take conclusions out of his words that probably aren't there. And I don't think I would have ever had that insight if I wasn't sitting in the room, like, listening to the event happen in real time.
I think it's similar to... there's a little game that we played beforehand.
Yeah.
Because... we've heard Buffett say enough over the years. I mean, it's been so long. You like know Buffett's answers. And so what we played beforehand where we said, what are the topics that are going to come up and what are the answers that Warren's going to say? And I think the journalists already had written out what they wanted to write about. Completely. Like, we're going to cover something about crypto today. We're going to cover something about World War III today. We're going to cover and like just write that out. And then whatever Warren says, because we kind of know. Mm-hmm. We're going to make it fit into that narrative. And that's what came out.
Yeah. All in all, tons of fun. Flight got canceled on the way back, but Dougals is a long trend momentum investor. He was able to pull some strings. We ended up back in Denver, which is great. And I'm glad we went, man.
I'm so glad I had that experience. And to be able to be in the room with Warren was still great. Like it's a thing to be able to say, right? It's a binary. I either was not there, or I was there. That was great. It's good to understand why people go, who goes to the event. I hope that it's able to continue in some way, shape, or form without Charlie and then without Warren at some point, because it is a special place. And what it's not, I'm going to be clear about this one. It is not the Woodstock for capitalists.
No, man.
It's not that.
Again, so many opportunities like the night before. So what happens is you and I both thought maybe there'd be like music, parties, like kind of the town would light up. But everyone's going, no, I'm waking up at 3 a.m. Like I'm going to bed at 7 p.m. So there's nothing happening the night before. Obviously, we flew out the day of. So maybe that next night there's some party stuff. But I think most people have busy investor lives to get back. The town does not become Las Vegas, does not become anything like Woodstock. It becomes a great place to have a beer or steak or whatever with other investors you respect, but that's about it.
Yep. And on that note, go ahead.
Well, I mean, last thing, most surprising thing, I did not know that Berkshire Hathaway has like a Lululemon competitor, but I'm still chuckling about that. That is hilarious.
They own so many companies. Up when you're in the arena, they go in alphabetical order. They flash up all the logos of the organizations. There's so many companies that they own. So to this point, there's a bunch of stuff that I was like, oh, they own Fruit of the Loom. They own Berkshire Hathaway Athletic Apparel. I think was the name of that organization you're talking about.
Yep.
Why?
Why is right? Why? You had one more thing.
Oh, I wanted to give a shout out to our boys, Clinton and Victor.
Yes.
It was fantastic having dinner with you. We had dinner and we talked about the themes of investment, styles of investment. We talked about stock picks. Like this goes back to your point around this is a great place to come to meet like fellow folks that might think in a different way about investing that you can chitty chat with. And it was fantastic. Thank you for meeting up with us.
We got a shout out to Josh too. Like we just had so much fun. We had so thank you to everyone we were able to run into. And I don't know. I'm on the fence if I'll ever go back. But if listeners of the show decide we're all making a pilgrimage, we might consider going back and doing a bunch of our own events. So thank you guys for getting together. It's great.
It was a lot of fun.
Is that a wrap?
I think let's wrap it up. Unless there's something digging at you that happened this week.
That's a wrap. We're going to keep it all about the Bookshare event this week.
All right.
So hope you guys enjoyed the show. We'll catch you next week.
Bye.